From the Windows, Doors, and More Studios, your one-stop shop for all your kitchen and bath needs. The Pat Miller Program. WoWo, 92.3 FM and 1190 AM. Depend on it.
And welcome back here on this Saturday as we go into our final hour, the 2 o'clock hour of the Saturday program. And our guest, as I promised you all morning, is 3rd District Congressman Jim Banks. Congressman Banks, good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey, Pat. Good to be with you.
Yeah, very nice to have you with us. You know, this week I was at a forum for the 3rd District, and all 8 of the candidates for the forum were there. And it's like you almost go brain dead. I mean, I appreciate the way they did it. You know, the last time they talked to everybody, they took them in alphabetical order. So this time they took them in reverse order, and they thought that was cute, which is fine. But each person got 15 minutes and then maybe a minute or two for people from the floor to ask the questions. And after about the 3rd or 4th candidate, I was brain dead, you know, and I thought, no wonder Jim's not running for office. He doesn't want to go through this.
Well, you know, I hope the WoWo Caleb Blakeslee debate gives a better inside view and look at where the candidates stand. That's usually more productive, right?
Yeah.
Asking
yep.
questions in an interview format that are more pointed, and I'm looking forward to that. So, it's a tough choice. There are lots of good. You and I both have talked about this. A lot of good people running for the job, and maybe some that I wouldn't vote for wouldn't want to replace me, but there are quite a few really good ones who I think would do really well at
yep.
representing the conservative values of Northeast Indiana. But the question is, do you have the backbone to do it? Are you going to stand up to Republican leadership when they put big omnibus spending bills on the floor like the one a couple of weeks ago, and are you going to vote against it?
Right.
Or are you going to go along with the flow and vote for it?
Right.
And at the end of the day, that's the biggest question for me. Who has the backbone, because I can tell you, representing Northeast Indiana for 8 years, Pat, that they won't put up with you for long if you're voting for bloated spending bills with late-term abortion earmarks and crap like that. And, you know, there are way too many Republicans who go along with it. That Northeast Indiana doesn't want one of them.
Right, exactly right. Is this why you've been very careful not to come out in the press or to go on TV or radio and to align yourself with the congresswoman from Houston, Texas, when she told a bunch of kids on the day of the eclipse, well, you know, the moon is just basically a mass of gases. And I'm listening to this and I'm like, what? And then she goes, yeah. And then, you know, someday, you know, we could all go there. She goes, I hope I'm the first person to go to the moon and to learn to live there. And I'm thinking, what planet are you from? I mean,
we would like to send her to the moon.
We would. I mean, we actually would. Does it not? I don't mean, this is a horrible question. Doesn't it bother you that the people of Houston are sending her and that she is getting paid what everybody else in Congress gets paid? She gets all the benefits that everybody else in Congress gets, you know, and in the midst of all that, she also is an idiot. I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
Well, you got to wonder, like, who are the voters that sent her to Washington to represent them? And that kind of gets back to what I was just saying. I mean, Northeast Indiana is the best congressional district in the country of real people, of farmers, of hardworking people that just want to provide for their family and do their best to raise their families and build their communities. And we're very conservative. We're very pro-life. We're very conservative. We're patriotic. We love our country, and we hate seeing what the other side's doing to it. And that's what the 3rd District deserves, is a representative who is going to represent those values and have the backbone from time to time to vote against even leaders of our own party who stray from our conservative values. So when whoever it is that replaces me, when they go down to the floor and cast some of these tough votes, or when they're talking about big issues of the day, we want people to look at that representative, whoever it is, and say, I can see, I understand why they're here. They represent the patriotic, hardworking, conservative people of Northeast Indiana. That you want your representative to reflect who you are.
Yes.
And oftentimes, some of my crazier colleagues, the socialist ones especially, they're elected like they're elected by people who think and look like they do. So that's kind of how it works, and that's why Northeast Indiana deserves a strong conservative.
Yeah, and somebody far above Sheila Jackson Lee, which is you. I don't know if that comparison does much for you, but I'm just telling you. I mean, she was the same one that when she was at touring NASA one time, and she asked them. It's when they had that rover that landed on Mars, and it was finally starting to send back images, and she was walking through the Space Center there in Houston, in the suburbs, and they were showing it to her. And she goes, "Now, will they be able to drive that over? Will we be able to get a picture of the flag that Neil Armstrong planted there?" And they were like, "Madam, that was the moon."
Yeah, I can't defend it.
I know. So one of the things that came about, but before I get into the whole impeachment process against a member of the cabinet, let me get your full. You and I have not talked about this, so let me get your unfettered appraisal of the person and the work of Alejandro Mayorkas as the secretary there on the president's cabinet.
Well, he's a disaster, he's on the front lines of the open border policies of the Biden administration. At the same time, he's thumbed his nose at Congress. He's misappropriated dollars that were given to Department of Homeland Security to support the American people, American taxpayers, and use that money for facilities for illegals instead. So I think he very much deserves to be impeached. That's why the House impeached him. That being said, Pat, I've said all along that as much as I believe that Mayorkas deserves to be impeached, the buck stops with Joe Biden.
Yes.
And he deserves to be impeached even more. I mean, the corrupt activities of the Biden family deserve more scrutiny than what this Congress has given it. But it's a shame that the Senate just wants to sweep the Mayorkas impeachment under the rug. For the first time in American history, they're not going to actually have hearings in the Senate when the House has voted to impeach. That's never happened before. I mean, the Constitution is clear that the Senate shall have hearings and hear the articles of impeachment that come from the House, and they're just going to vote to table the impeachment, to move on and act like it never happened. And I think that's a shameful moment for the United States Senate.
It's not the way it's supposed to happen. In fact, it is the Senate, in this case, it is the Senate Majority Leader, acting in an unconstitutional fashion. It's not his job to decide whether or not they take it up, because of the fact that a duly elected House of Representatives sent it over, they have to take it up. I mean, if they don't, they're not doing their job. Maybe he needs to be impeached.
Yeah, I'm doing everything I can to make sure that Chuck Schumer is fired after this next election and we win back a Republican majority in the Senate. But to your point, since 1797, there have been 21 people who have been impeached by the House, and each of those times, all 21 times, the Senate has held a trial as the Constitution instructs it to do. So this is the first time that's not going to happen, and I think that's disgraceful. When you look at what's going on at the border, I mean, the wide open border, there's a new story late this week, Pat, about an illegal from Afghanistan who was on the terrorist watch list that spent a year inside of the United States. He was caught and released by the Biden administration, and they didn't do anything about it. There have been 151 illegals on the terrorist watch list who were caught at the border this year. That is a record, and I'm much more concerned about the illegals who are on the terrorist watch list who aren't caught, who are flooding across the border. 151 who were caught, but we know that means that there's an exponential increase in the numbers of illegals on the terrorist watch list who aren't caught, like the Afghan who was caught and released by Biden. So this is a disaster unlike anything that we've ever seen before, flooding our country with 10 million illegals, the crime, the drugs that come with it. And Chuck Schumer knows that this is a loser for Joe Biden heading into the November presidential election.
Sure,
that's
it is.
That's why they want to prevent a trial in the Senate, because they know that Joe Biden's going to lose in November. The more that we focus on the on the border and everything that comes with it, the more the American people want to turn the page on Joe Biden.
Well, and yeah, a lot of America is looking for the opportunity to do that. But yeah, it would come back on him like almost nothing else that you could imagine, because of who he is, the president, and because of the people he has selected. I mean, if you go through Mayorkas, which I think what he has done is impeachable, but then when you look at other incompetents like Pete Buttigieg, I mean, the guy is a joke just looking for a place to happen. You know, you got other people in his government that are, and I'm not trying to drill a hole here, but they're not only gay like, you know, like Buttigieg, you know, but you've got a trans woman there, you know, who, sir, I can't stand it. I mean, I just can't stand it. It's like the land of the bizarre. It's like a very, 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 very bad Marvel comic.
Yeah, this is why a trial is necessary, to highlight it. Even if Chuck Schumer wants to save Secretary Mayorkas' job and his reputation, they have a trial and prove it. But they just want to sweep it under the rug. And I know the mainstream media is not going to cover it, but I'm glad that you're talking about it. And I hope people catch on to it, that this is a political ploy by Chuck Schumer to prevent the American people from knowing more about the disaster at the border.
Personal opinion time here. Why is Nancy Pelosi still there? I mean, when she lost the speaker's, the Speaker of the House, she's not a young lady anymore. And I guess is it just that she's gotten so used to people wanting her opinion about everything that she can't stand the day when they won't be coming to her for
She thinks so, I guess. I mean, I just saw her on the floor on TV in a prominent role yesterday, debating a major issue. So I think they've kept her around, Pat, for fundraising, and I think she likes it. And we all know that the Pelosi's profit handsomely from stock trades while she's in Congress too. There are probably lots of reasons that she's stuck around, but I don't want to defend her or give her any credit. She has a lot more energy than a lot of these older Democrats do, especially the guy in the White House.
Yeah, which isn't saying a whole lot. I mean, that's
not saying a lot.
Yeah. When I tried to get,
you
on the phone a little while ago, I understood you had a tour of people that you're trying to give them a tour of the Capitol. Did you have some school kids there? What was going on?
Say that one more time.
Yeah. You were with a tour group or something when we first started to call, and they said you had a little bit more time with them. And I didn't know if you were doing like a school tour or what you did.
Yeah, I had a couple of high school students from Columbia City High School, my hometown, and
a
local pastor, and second year in a row where they've come out for a tour. It's always great to see people from home, and I enjoy that that very much.
Yeah, it kind of helps keep you centered sometimes because you're with them. Well, listen, as always, I'm always very glad to talk with you and very glad that you made yourself aware. Be thinking about Kayla as she and Dirk Rally helped headline that third district debate that they're going to have. That'll be very interesting to watch. I had Todd Rokita on today, and of course his primary is not a primary. He's selected through the state convention, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But as all this is happening, as you're going to be the nominee and then the ultimate winner for the Senate seat, that's awesome. We've got a lot of moving of the pieces here, but hopefully the pieces that have worked for us, we hang on to them, and they do great work for us. Congressman, have a fabulous weekend. Amanda and the girls, give him our best, and then we'll see you again next week, and we'll get together. Thank you so much for today, sir.
Thank you, Pat. Have a good day.
You too. Third District Congressman Jim Banks.
This is the Pat Miller Program on WoWo, 92.3 FM and 1190 AM, and on the WoWo app.
Hey, welcome back to the Pat Miller Program. Our thanks to Jim Banks being on with us today on this Saturday. He, of course, our Third District Congressman, now running for the U.S. Senate. He has become a strong voice in Congress for all things conservative, and I think he would be a tremendous one to step into Mike Braun's seat, as Braun is now making his play for the seat of governor here in the state of Indiana. On The View, I don't watch it a lot. In fact, I didn't watch this segment that I'm getting ready to talk to you about, but I went in and I watched clips and segments of it there's only so much I can take. But the co-hosts were clashing over the high grocery prices. And liberal co-host Joy Behar insisted that Alyssa Farah Griffin vote for President Biden. The co-hosts clashed on Thursday over President Biden's lack of focus on high grocery prices, which the liberal hosts dismissed because they bluntly told Griffin she had to vote for Biden. Whoopi Goldberg, brilliant, Joy Behar and Sonny Hostin largely defended the president, and his former White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain criticized Biden for being focused on bridges and not enough spending time on prices of groceries. And it's not just the president spends time on bridges, but he ought to spend some time on bridges if the time he's spending makes sense. He talked about how he had gone over by train over that bridge that got hit by that barge a couple of weeks ago there in Baltimore, how he had gone over that bridge so many times on the train. There are no train tracks on that bridge. Joe Biden nor anyone else ever went across that bridge by train. It's just another one of his, you know, every news story that pops up has to be about Joe Biden. You lost a son, so did I. Your son was killed in combat, so was mine. No, he wasn't. I've been where you are. No, you're not. Yeah, I grew up with the Irish. I grew up with the, and he just grabs any group, you know, I grew up with the blacks and all that. Yeah, sure. And he just goes on and on and on. I think that sometimes he has said things in his head so many times, it has become his new reality. Well, Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar and Sonny Hostin defended Biden and said they don't fault him for inflation. It's not his fault. Well, that's when Alyssa Farah Griffin argued that undecided voters were very worried about the price of groceries and inflation had risen from 3.5% from March of last year to March of this year. That's according to the Labor Department statistics. Inflation rose 3.5% in 1 year. If people knew civics, they would know that's not his, you know, that's not his. Listen, he doesn't. That was Goldberg. If you only knew civics, you'd realize that's not his job. Well, these are absolutely things that Biden can do to address it. And grocery prices have jumped 25% during his time in office. And so Behar shot back, well, what can he do? Now, here's the thing. They throw cynical comments even at each other, but they come out with this, you know, nasally cynic, speaking out through their nose attitude toward everybody, and the audience applauds. It's like, there, I put you in your place. Well, what can he do? The liberal co-host appeared to me to be appalled at the suggestion that Biden challenge major grocery chains and said there were a number of things that he could do. And Sarah Haynes chimed in and said that immigration was a major issue for voters as well. And then your very, very liberal, your Whoopi Goldberg group of up there on the panel were just beside themselves. Griffin said Americans were spending 11% of their income on groceries, which were dismissed by the co-hosts as Goldberg argued that Biden was doing his job. Toward the end of the segment, Behar told Griffin, you have to vote for Biden. If you really want President Trump to lose, you have to vote for Biden. People who are like you, who say you hate, can't stand Trump, you have to vote for Biden. And Griffin shot back and argued that Biden is not immune from criticism and said she was raising this issue because she doesn't want Trump to win in 2024. While Behar said criticism of the president was fine, she complained that there were hideous things on the Republican side of the aisle that were much worse. Hideous things, much worse. How many did she name? None. And that's typically the way it is. So get your nasal accent in place, get ready to talk through your nose and look down at who you're talking to, and you're all set for the view. I'll be back with you straight ahead right here on Wobo 92.3 FM, 1190 AM. And welcome back. It is the Pat Miller Program as we go into our last half hour together on this Saturday. Very glad that you're with us. You know, I've had a lot to say, not just in this program today, but in a lot of previous programs over a lot of previous weeks and months and even years about the lawlessness and the lawless schemes that have rolled out of this current administration. And one of them was the lawless scheme by President Biden as to how it was that he was going to, in fact, transfer student loan balances from the people that took out the loans to the taxpayers who didn't. Now, I understand, yeah, but it's it's so high, it's so big. Yeah, but then when people now, and there are more young people doing it now, when they examine the landscape and they're like, you know, in that I'm not maybe necessarily certain that's the major I want, I'm not necessarily certain that I can find a lot of jobs in that field, and some of them are doing that too, that it might be best for me just go to a junior college or just go ahead and place myself in the workforce and just go from here. They don't want them to do that because why? Because we have to support our colleges. We have to, okay, well, if you keep this nonsense up, do you know what's next? If you've got people that have college degrees and either they can't or won't find the right work to go with that degree, and they can't or they won't pay back their loans, then at what point do you realize that the whole mess is a mess? What are you going to do when people that are lower in income or they haven't had, quote, the same opportunities as others, and they have that two-year-old car that they bought, and they just can't keep up with the payments, but they don't want to lose that car because it's a status symbol or it's well-working, it gets them. What's going to stop them from saying, you know what, if your income is below a certain level and you've been below that level for a certain amount of time, we're going to pay off that car for you. What? I mean, why not? You say, no, that's not the same thing. It is the same thing. It's taking a loan that somebody took out for their own benefit, no argument there, and now they can't or they won't pay it back, and so we're going to take that loan and we're going to move it from the ledger of the people that took it out to the ledger of taxpayers that had nothing to do with that loan. I came across something that came out from the Wall Street Journal board, and their editorial board made some pretty worthy observations here. The Supreme Court last year blocked the Biden administration's $430 billion student loan write-off. But who do the justices think they are? Just because the Supreme Court blocked it, well, King Joe came in, showed them on Monday because he waved his royal scepter again, and he started canceling debt from some 30 million borrowers. Although the details of Mr. Biden's latest plan are new, it aims, like the first, to make college free on the back end. For whatever reason you can't or won't repay your loans, the administration has got you covered. That's a great way to get reelected, isn't it? Mr. Biden's new plan eliminates accrued interest on loans for some 23 million borrowers. Eliminates the interest that's accrued. Okay, so if you're a savings loan, if you're a bank, if you're a credit union, and you have extended that loan, how do you make your money? If you give somebody X number of dollars for a house, and when they pay you back on principal only, no interest, or you buy a car and you do the same, or you take out a student loan and you do the same, how do you get the banks and the you'll start having banks and credit unions going under like crazy. So this generous repayment plan they've got that capped monthly payments at a de minimis share of income have caused many loan balances to actually sit there and explode. They're ballooning owing to interest that accrues on unpaid balances. This is a major reason that student debt has exploded. Mr. Biden's previous repayment plans prevent interest from compounding, eliminating the punishment for not making full and regular payments. Now borrowers also won't be able to pay interest they've whacked up. They won't have to pay it, which could total hundreds of billions of dollars. Now you're listening to me. Most of you listening to me right now are adults. We've got some school kids, some high schoolers, some college students. Most of you are adults. Wouldn't you just love if Joe Biden and his administration came to you to write off interest that accrues on your credit cards right now, or on your mortgage, or on your car payments. Wouldn't that be a dream? His plan here erases debt for some 2.5 million borrowers who entered repayment over 20 years ago. Current repayment plans forgive debt for borrowers who make monthly payments for 20 years. Mr. Biden is taking the payment out of repayment by canceling debt for borrowers who haven't been making regular payments. That's for you, Gen Xers. That's going to get you really excited. Don't you want to vote for Joe Biden again? Borrowers who enrolled in low financial value programs will also receive loan forgiveness. The administration isn't targeting this benefit at community organizing majors, but rather borrowers who attended proprietary schools that lose their financial aid. They lose that eligibility. Why? Because of Mr. Biden's draconian, painful employment rule on for-profit colleges. Borrowers who can't find or don't want to find gainful employment could get their loans canceled simply by claiming a hardship. One example the White House gives is child care expenses. Get ready for an elastic definition of hardship, and it's going to be there. The administration is essentially turning college into an open-ended, taxpayer-financed entitlement by canceling loans on the installment plan. Even if it boasts that it has already approved $146 billion in student debt relief for 4 million Americans through more than two dozen executive actions. By the way, that's $36,500 per borrower. Joe Biden is trying to prove that right now it really is good to be king.
This is the Pat Miller Program on WoWo 92.3 FM and 1190 AM and at WoWo.com.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Welcome back to the Pat Miller Program. As long as we're talking about money, let's just keep talking, shall we? There's a labor group that has said now that they have gotten California to pass into law with the according love of their governor, Gavin Newsom, they have put into place the $20 minimum wage for fast food workers. Well, now that labor group is demanding that California's $20 minimum wage be extended to every sector of work and industry. Every sector. There's a Foster's Freeze, which is a fast food place out there in California. One of their assistant managers is now a former assistant manager, and she reacts to this sudden closure and how others are responding to this bottom line. Their store closed because the owner said, I can't make it by paying this minimum wage, which, by the way, is a 25% increase in the minimum wage. 25%. Boom, just like that. Companies can't absorb that. You say, well, the big companies could. Really? You ready for the cost of your Chryslers to go up 25%? Your Fords, you ready for that? You ready for all your clothing to go up 25%? You ready for everything that goes into a new home, the nails, the aluminum, the building, the wood? Are you ready for it all to go up 25%? A fair wage advocacy group is now demanding that California's new one fair wage law, that it should be passed and be extended to all sectors to help working class people who are struggling with the state's high cost of living. Did you hear it? They're struggling with their state's high cost of living. Now, this is going to come into play again when I tell you a little bit about what it is that's going on. Fox Business spoke with president of One Fair Wage to discuss what she described as the skyrocketing levels of home insecurity and food insecurity post-pandemic. Fast workers winning a 20% minimum wage, she said, is just the beginning. This woman doesn't get it. I can't believe that she holds the position that she holds. She just doesn't get it. Are you going to boost everything up 25% and expect your state and your workers and everybody that you supposedly represent to stay employed? for the state to still be there? Do you think all that is going to happen magically? She pointed to the exorbitantly high cost of living in the Golden State, where in some counties an individual would need a $40 an hour salary to live comfortably. Did the problem ever dawn on you that maybe the problem is not merely the wage, that maybe the problem is also the cost of living where you are? She says, people are leaving the state or are not having children or not having families. These are all the very basics we should be thinking about for humans living in California and needing to survive. Why? Because you're tired of them pulling out and moving to Alabama or moving to Colorado or moving to Indiana? Because they can come here and make the minimum wage closer to what they were making, but they can still get by here where they can't in California? Because survival is dependent upon a state. Your state's a mess. An absolute mess. She goes, I mean, the level of crisis that people have been enduring since the pandemic is severe. Well, Gavin Newsom signed this monster, which is AB 1228, back in September, went into effect earlier this month. This new law applies to restaurants and the workers there that have at least 60 locations nationwide. So your In-N-Outs, they qualify. Your Whataburgers qualify. Your McDonald's qualify. Your Burger King's qualify. Your Taco Bell's qualify. You just start racking them up. So that means this is going to explode for all of them. Restaurant owners and a lot of industry insiders warned them that the law was going to be detrimental to small businesses and consumers. One Los Angeles-based restaurant owner complained that there were going to be massive layoffs and massive job losses. And this is before the thing went into effect. Another former assistant manager at a Foster's Freeze in California described the new law as a shock. Well, this woman who heads up this financial group dismissed these concerns, arguing that such dire predictions have not been borne out in past minimum wage increases. It's because if you have a minimum wage increase of a buck or two, but when you raise it 25%, that's not chump change. What do you people smoke? Well, I know what you're smoking out there. Forget what I just said. No, but I mean, what is wrong with you? She goes, that is the argument they always make. Every single time the minimum wage bill was up, they always say it's going to kill businesses and jobs will be lost. And we've never seen it happen. Not in California, not in any other state. It has never happened. No, my darling, but it will. It just went into effect this month. You've already got people losing their jobs in big numbers. You've already got restaurants shutting their doors. She argued that the raising of the minimum wage will put more money into workers' pockets who in turn spend their extra earnings stimulating the economy and growing industries. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like the trickle-down economy in reverse, which you people have always told us we're out of our minds to think that that would ever work. I mean, we're taking student loans now and doing away with them. We're taking student loans and just paying them off or just saying they don't exist anymore. Forget the banks that extended the loans. Forget the fact that the kids can't afford to pay it off, and forget the fact that everybody's sitting there and everybody's going under in a heartbeat. California is going under, okay? I don't care who says it's never happened here before. Well, it's happening there now. Listen, you've had people leaving your state and moving to other states for a very long time. You know, when Ben Shapiro had to pull out, he and his 150 employees, he moved his entire company from Los Angeles and moved it all to Florida. The lack of tax he has to pay, the lack of this kind of nonsense. He would rather sit under a governor who is not signing this nonsense. He'd rather sit under DeSantis, who makes sense in all that he does. They seem to think, well, this is going to be great, though, because they're going to make extra money, and not if they're not working. They're going to make extra money how? Okay, McDonald's let you go. Okay, McDonald's let you go, and now you're just going to have to find a job at another fast food restaurant that'll pay you the $20. Now, I'm not picking on anybody today. I went into Starbucks last week. I went to the one out there on Lima Road. Nice store, always liked it. It's there close to Sam's. So often I would drop Kim off at Sam's Club. I would run over and get my coffee and her coffee, and they'd be ready. So I went inside to use the restroom while I was there, and I realized that when they revamped that restaurant, they revamped it where basically you conduct no business inside. You've pre-ordered your food. You've already paid for it. You pick it up at the window, or you come inside. You just give them your code number, and you pick it up. No restrooms, no sit-down, nothing. You can't eat inside that Starbucks restaurant. A lot of people are going, oh, man, this is cool because it keeps everything trendy and moving. I get it. How many people are not working at that restaurant now that were? Are three people in that restaurant doing what eight used to do? If you own that Starbucks, you're having to do what you have to do to meet the needs of your company and try not to screw over as many employees as possible. But after a while, I mean, you reach a point where you can't help yourself. But the fact that we're going to stimulate the economy and we're going to grow industries when industries now are shutting down because they can't pay this exorbitant minimum wage. And I'm really getting tired of it being called minimum wage, by the way, because it's not. It's entry level wage. I don't mean to offend anybody. If you come out of school, high school, or some college or whatever, and you take a minimum wage and entry level wage job, okay? And it's difficult at first. Sure it is. For most of you, you're not married yet. You don't have kids yet. You're not buying a home yet. But if you're still in that entry level job in 10 years, there have been a lot of choices that you've made that have kept you there. A lot of them. The minimum wage would pass prices on to consumers, and she argues that consumers have already been experiencing inflation coupled with stagnant inflation and wages. So here, did you get what she said? Yes, this will pass on some price increases to consumers, but they've already been experiencing inflation. So since you guys out there, you schmucks in Indiana, since you've already been experiencing inflation, let's just go ahead and raise minimum wage 25% and let's throw that on top and you can pay that too. Frankly, she said, inflation has already happened and many prices have already gone up. Well, first of all, to say that inflation has already happened, she's putting everything in past tense, and everything is not in past tense. Grocery store prices have already gone up. And so it's not a matter of we can't raise wages because prices might go up. Well, no, prices will go up. Prices have already gone up. If we don't keep wages in step with the rising cost of living, either workers will leave the state of California or these horrible things will happen. Ladies and gentlemen, in California, they will happen. Ladies and gentlemen in Indiana, let us not fall for this nonsense or it will happen here as well. Hey, thanks very much for being with us today. We got a couple of busy things coming up. Don't forget, we've got the primaries coming up in a couple of weeks. And I don't know about you, I'm ready for it to be over, but I want it to be over in a good, right way. I want everybody, those of you that are going to vote the way I'm going to vote, and those of you that are going to vote a different way, I want us all to get out to the polls and devote our conscience and devote our hearts. We'll see you again next Saturday. We'll do it right here from noon to 3. This has been the Pat Miller Program on WoWo 92.3 FM and 1190 AM. Podcasts by Federated Media.